Amen. Well, let's go to the back of your Bibles, please. The book of the Revelation, chapter 21. Now, we are looking into the future. And if you are a child of God this morning, let me encourage you to rejoice. This is your future. Here in Revelation, chapter number 21. Let's continue where we left off last Sunday. We'll be reading verses 9 all the way down to verse 27. Revelation chapter number 21. And let's begin in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, chrysophorus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let's go to prayer. Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for the detail that you have given us in your word. Lord, we know that you haven't told us, Lord, everything about the future to come in the eternity of heaven. But Lord, we thank you for the detail you have given us. We thank you that we can be excited as your children as we look to the future to come. Thank you, Lord, that it is glorious. Lord, it is wonderful and it is beyond amazement. Lord, help us, we pray, to look to you this morning. Help us to look to things above and not on things of the earth, so that we may live for you in this day and expectantly await your coming with excitement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, some of you have heard the story before about a man who went to a hotel. I think I've shared this previously. Anyway, he went to the hotel and he said to the hotel manager, Look, I want to redecorate my room exactly as I want it. He was a wealthy man. He had the money to do that. He said, I want to change the curtains to my favorite color and my favorite material. I want to change the carpet. In fact, I don't like your furniture. It's kind of cheap and used and worn. I want to change it to furniture that's brand new, the kind of design that I like. And he said to the manager of the hotel, he said, look, don't worry, I'll pay for it all. And then the manager looked at his book and he said, sir, you must be crazy. You're only staying here for 2 nights. Now you and I would think of this man just like the manager did, that he is crazy. Why would he do such a thing? And yet, even as Christians, we can live the same way as that man, can't we? Because we can also try to make this life and what we have the most perfect place and have the most perfect things that we can. Even if we don't have those things, oftentimes our lives are consumed by trying to get those things, like trying to chase a golden pot at the end of the rainbow. You know, when you see a rainbow, it's out there. It's beautiful, it's attractive, but you can chase after it as far as you want to and as long as you want to, but isn't it true? We'll never get there. And you know, as God's children, let's not be like that foolish man, amen? Because if we understand what God has shown us this morning in His Word, God has prepared a perfect place for us. And guess what? It is not here. So let's not waste our time looking for it here. Let's not waste our time trying to build it here, because the Lord has, in fact, He is preparing right now a place for us. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. We'll come back to Revelation. Book of John, chapter 14. Let's see what the Lord Jesus told us about this perfect place. Verses 1 to 3. John, chapter number 14. Verses 1 to 3. Verse 1 says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. My friends, if we are a child of God this morning, God has given us His promise. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I myself will come again for you. And when I come, I will take you to a place that I have prepared for you. In fact, He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. But instead, He tells us it is so. My friends, God has a place prepared. It is His Father's house. And my friends, it is full of mansions. And Christ said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Now, what is this place like? What are these mansions like? Now, remember, God hasn't given us every detail, but what He has told us is in great detail. So we are going to step into the future once again, and we are going to go with John as he's taken up by the angel, and we are going to view the city of glory. The city of glory. Last week we looked at our new heavenly home, and this week we're going to take a closer look, because God describes to us in these verses our future heavenly home, the eternal capital city of heaven. Are you ready to go this morning? Yep. Are you looking forward to seeing what God has for us in the future? Amen. Now, before we do, come back with me to Revelation 21. Notice the angel that takes John to view the city. Verse 9 says that this is the very angel that poured out the last seven judgments upon the earth. Do you remember the bowl judgments or the vial judgments? Do you remember what was included in those judgments? Do you remember those judgments were poured out and that great city of Babylon was fallen? The mystery Babylon, the religious empire of the world, and then political and economic Babylon, the wealth of the world. And the world system that was built up against God, in rebellion against God, will be destroyed. Now, isn't it ironic that this very same angel is the one to take John to view a city that will never be destroyed? A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So the angel whisked John away to a high mountain. What is it that John sees? Well, notice the first sight that takes John's breath away. First, in verse 11, he sees the glory of that city. Notice verse 11. What does the Bible say? Having the glory of God. You see, as John was standing upon that great mountain, and as he viewed the great city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, what is it that first took his breath away? My friends, what he saw was the city of God, that it was filled with the glory of God. The Bible tells us here in the book of the Revelation that God's eternal city is filled with His own presence and His own glory. Look at the way it shines in verse 11. Are you with me there in verse 11?
Yep.
Having the glory of God, and her light was like a light, was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper. Jasper is a clear stone, a reflective stone. Notice the next one, clear as crystal. Have you ever seen the radiance of crystal before? Have you ever seen the way that it catches light? You see, John is describing to us what he saw. An awesome sight, a breathtaking sight. The city of glory radiating with the very glory of God Himself. Just like the brilliance of light passing through a crystal, the city of glory will radiate with light from God Himself. What a sight that must have been. But isn't this exciting? What a sight that will be. Because just like John, you and I one day will see this city.
Amen.
You see, John is a picture of the raptured believer, is he not? Seeing what we will see one day. What a sight that will be. Now, John has seen God's glory once before, hasn't he?
Yeah.
We won't turn there, but remember in the book of Matthew 17, who were the three that the Lord took to the top of the mountain, the Mount Transfiguration?
Yeah.
It was Peter, it was James, and it was John, and there they stood, and they saw something that the disciples had not seen before. They saw the Lord transfigured. His countenance changed. The Bible says that He was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was as white as brilliant light. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming in His kingdom. See, the Lord was shown in all His glory, and they witnessed firsthand Christ and His majesty. And my friends, this is the very glory that will light up the New Jerusalem, and in fact, the rest of the universe. The glory of God. Notice the glory of that city. We've seen the glory of God. Notice the glorious presence of God. Come down with me to verse 22. Let's jump over down there. Verse number 22. Notice what the Bible says. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So John sees the city and he notices there is no temple. In the millennium there will be a temple. Remember, the millennium temple will be built. The nations of the world will flock to the temple to worship the Lord. But in the eternity to come, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple. Now the word temple describes to us a place where God chose to dwell with His people. Now do you remember the temples of the past? Do you remember Solomon's temple? When it was rebuilt and dedicated to the Lord, what happened? God's presence came down upon the temple. Remember, the Holy of Holies was filled with the presence of God. Now, the holy place was a room where the priest could enter into many times. But the holy place, the Holy of Holies, I should say, was one part of the temple that only the high priest could enter once a year. It was on the Day of Atonement. And it was on the day where the high priest sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. Amen. The mercy seat. And there he sprinkled the blood, picturing the forthcoming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will shed His precious blood to pay for the sins of the world. But do you notice here in the eternal city, there will be no temple. Why? Notice there in your Bibles, verse 22, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. My friends, there will be no need for the sprinkling of blood. In fact, there will be no need for the Lord's table anymore in the Lord's church. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself will be there.
Amen.
The Lord Himself and the Lamb will be the glory of it. Notice the contrast. I saw no temple. Can you see the Lord's glorious presence? You see, that's where the Lord will dwell, in the New Jerusalem, upon His throne. And we will see Him face to face. The Bible says the Father, the Son, the Lamb of God, the Holy Spirit will be there in the New Jerusalem. And we will see Him. We will have intimate, personal fellowship with the Lord forever. For it's His glory that lights up eternity. The glory of God, His glorious presence. Notice the glorious light in the next verse, verse 23. Chapter 21, verse 23. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? On to 1, 2. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You see, the eternal city doesn't need a temple, because the Lord is there. And likewise, the new eternal city doesn't need the sun or the moon, once again, because the Lord is there. He is the light of the world, amen? And His light is the light that will light up the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ's light will radiate throughout the eternal city and will be the brightness of the future to come. Jesus said in John chapter 8, did He not? I am the light of the world. The light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, in the eternal city, in the place where you and I will live forever as Christians, when we see the light that floods the universe, when we see where it's coming from, what will we be reminded of? What do you think will you and I will be reminded of every moment?
Salvation.
Amen. That's right. Do you remember the day that the Lord took you out of darkness and into His marvelous light? Do you remember that day? Has there been a day that you realized you were lost in the darkness of your sin? Has there been a day that you realize that you were headed for an eternity? In fact, away from God, in a place called the lake of fire. In fact, the Bible tells us that those who go to the lake of fire shall never see the light. You see, that's where we were headed. That's where we deserve to go as sinners that had rebelled against the holy God, who in Him is no sin and only light. But thank God the light of the world came to this wicked, sin-cursed earth. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And then He rose again on the third day. Amen. So that you and I, as wicked, darkened, lost sinners, can repent of our sins and receive Christ and be brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. I tell you something, brethren, in the eternity to come, God's brilliant light will not only light up our eyes, but will light up our hearts. And we'll be reminded forever that it's the Lord who saved us. It is the Lord who brought us into His marvelous light. Amen?
Amen.
What a wonderful picture of the glory of that city. My friend, if you're a Christian this morning, John also tells us in the book of 1 John that we are to walk in the light, are we not? If we have the light of Christ, we are to walk in the light. If we are no longer children of darkness, then why are we practicing sin? Why are we enjoying sin? We ought not to be if we are saved. Amen? The Lord wants us to walk in the light, to obey His word, to rejoice in His salvation. In fact, also He says, ye are the light of the world. If we have the light of Christ, then we are to shine, we are to radiate in this world around us. Do you remember Moses? Do you remember when he just caught a glimpse of the glory of God? In fact, Moses said that he desired to see God's glory, and the Lord said, you cannot see My face lest you die. So you remember God hid Moses in the cleft of a rock. When we sing these wonderful hymns, we remember those words. How God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. He hid Moses away from His full glory. And Moses was allowed to see God's hinder parts as he walked past. He was allowed to see His back. And when he came down from the mount, you remember, Moses' face shone, was bright and radiant, because he caught just a small glimpse of the glory of God. You see, that's what the Lord wants us to show the world. As we spend time in God's Word, as we spend time in the Lord, in prayer, just a little bit of prayer, amen? Just a prayer to God during the day. And then the next hour, just rejoicing in the Lord, speaking to the Lord. My friends, our face will show a different smile than what the world has. Our face will show a difference. Our speech will show a difference. You see, we are the light of the world. And my friends, if we will dwell in eternal light, let's enjoy that light today, amen, as children of the light. What an exciting future. Well, first of all, we've seen the glory of that city because the Lord is there, the glory of God. Notice next the greatness of that city. As John takes a closer look, God reveals to him the architectural structure of the city itself. Notice the greatness of the city in verses 12 to 21. Now notice verse 12, we see the city's great gates, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. So the Bible tells us there are gates in the city. In fact, 12 gates surrounding the new eternal capital. Now what are gates used for? What are doors used for? To go in and to come out. Somewhere to enter and somewhere to exit. So what does that tell us? Well, that tells us in the New Jerusalem, as God's children, we will be able to go in and to go out of the eternal city. Will we be able to go in to worship the Lord? Yes, we will. Will we be able to go out and explore the rest of God's new heaven, the new universe, or the far reaches of the new earth? Well, we don't know, but let me say this. One thing's for sure. We will have brand new bodies that can do brand new things. Notice with me 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Notice what John says in the book of 1 John chapter 3. Just a few books back. If the breeze isn't blowing too hard, you'll get there. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Let's read verse 2 aloud together, shall we? 1 John chapter 3. And verse 2, 1, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, this is another promise from God. When the Lord Jesus comes, we will see him. We will see him in all his glory. We will see him in all his radiance. But notice also, we shall be like him. The Bible tells us that this corruptible will put on incorruption. The Bible tells us that our bodies will be transformed in an instant, and when the Lord raptures his church, we will be transformed and we will be given brand new eternal resurrection bodies. And the Bible tells us we shall be like him. What will our bodies will be? What will they be like? They'll be just like the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrected body. They'll be just like his eternal body. Well, what could the Lord do after he was resurrected? Well, we know that he sat with his disciples and he could eat. That's right. He could drink. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was given a physical resurrected body and we shall be like him. He could walk. He could talk. He could mysteriously appear and disappear. Now, remember in the book of Acts, when the disciples accounted of the Lord's ascension into heaven, what could he do? My friends, he could fly through the universe. And what else could he do? My friends, he could walk through walls. What will we be able to do in our new resurrection body? Well, we don't know the details. But one thing we do know, the future is exciting for the child of God. Amen? You see, sometimes we think of heaven like fluffy little clouds and you and I sitting on a cloud playing a harp. And we've allowed the world to pollute our minds with all sorts of nonsense. No wonder they think heaven is boring because they don't read the Word of God. They watch filthy movies that depict heaven just like that wicked movie with Robin Williams in it. No wonder he starred in that movie because he was a lost man. What Things May Come, that's the title of the movie. A famous movie back in the 80s when I was younger, and or 90s. Maybe you've seen it. A movie about heaven. And God is nowhere to be found. He's not there. He's absent from heaven. You see, that's the kind of heaven the world wants, where God is not there. But my friends, the heaven that God tells us about is in the very presence of the glory of God Himself. And there's some wonderful, exciting things. My friends, heaven's not a boring place. There are gates to the city. We can go in and out. Will we be able to travel the universe? Well, time will only tell, amen. And the time is at hand. We see the cities of the gate. What does the Bible tell us in verse number 12? Back in the book of Revelation, verse 12, this is exciting. The Bible says the city had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates there were 12 angels. Angels stand at the gates. The gates are open. Notice the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So 12 gates, 12 angels, and on each gate, a name of a specific tribe of the nation of Israel. Now what does that tell us? Well, does that not tell us who will be in the city? You see, the Old Testament saints will be there. Jewish believers will be there. Now imagine going into the city of God and walking down the streets of gold and looking around you, and there are the heroes of Hebrews chapter 11. There is Abraham, the one who looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There is Moses. Wow. There is Noah. There is David. Imagine asking David, young people, what it was like to stand up against Goliath. And ask him about the details of what happened. Imagine walking with Moses and asking him about the Red Sea crossing and the miracles of Egypt. My friends, the Old Testament saints will be there. Notice also the New Testament saints will be there. Jump down to verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 apostles' names will be inscribed on the foundations of the city. You see, that tells us that the New Testament saints will be there. Would you like to meet the Apostle Paul? I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that would like to thank him. Thank him for running the race. Thank him for being faithful to the gospel. You see, my friends, if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul who brought the gospel to the Gentiles, would the gospel have ever come to Australia? Thank God for the Apostle Paul. Thank God for the martyrs of the faith. My friends, they will all be there. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, tribulation saints, those in the millennium who will save. Can you see that God is preparing a city for all His children from the past, present, and the future? That is the description in the great gates of the city. And we will be there. The city's great gates lead on to notice the city's great size. The city's great size in verse 15 to 17. Notice there in verses 15 to 17. Now in these verses, the angel had a golden reed. It was like a measuring stick. Now that reed was about 10 feet in length. So how many of you can imagine measuring the city would have taken a long time? Well, 10 feet in length, that was the reed, the golden reed that the angel had. Now we are told in these verses, notice in verse 16, the length is as large as the breadth. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So the city's dimensions is as high as it is wide as it is long. So it is described as a giant cube, a giant square. We are told that the city measures 12,000 furlongs on each side. That means approximately the city will be 2,500 kilometers long, 2,500 kilometers wide, and 2,500 kilometers high. That is a massive, gigantic structure. Now, just to give you an idea, and it's just an approximate, don't hold me to the letter of these measurements, but if you were to draw a straight line from Cairns south to Melbourne, roughly 2.5 kilometres, driving not, but if you drew a straight line in distance, 2,500 kilometres. Now, across from Cairns to Broome in Western Australia, again, roughly, in a straight line, 2,500 kilometres. The width and the length of this city will be absolutely gigantic, beyond anything you have ever seen. Has anyone ever seen a building that large? Has anyone ever seen a city that large? But hang on a second, we're forgetting another dimension, aren't we? Upwards, the height of that city is 2,500 kilometers. Now, God doesn't tell us that there are flaws or different stories in the city, but if there were, imagine this, if there were, and if we had a generous 7.5 meters for every floor, there would be no less than 300,000 stories in the eternal city of God. How many have ever seen a building that high? 7.5 meter rooms, 300,000 times over. A massive city. Now here's a question. Why do we need to know the size of the city? What encouragement is there in us in knowing about the size? Because God encourages us in His glory, does He not? We can look forward to seeing the Lord, but the city is gigantic. Well, here's one thought. Now, there's an approximate estimate, different estimates, for the population of the world of people that ever lived. The approximate estimate, one of them is 106.5 billion people. Now, according to the size of the greatness of that city, if that number is correct, from Adam to the last person that was ever born, 106.5 billion, that means that everyone would be able to have a room that is 450 meters on each side in the eternal city of God. Why does God want us to know that? Because He wants us to know, amen, God has already told you that there is room for everyone. God wants us to know that there is room for everyone. He has designed an eternal city to prove to us that God so loved the world, every soul of man, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does not the Bible tell us in our memory verse in Revelation chapter number 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and he that is athirst say, come. My friends, salvation is available for all. And the city of God proves that to us. There's enough room for all. There's enough room for everyone who will come. Praise God for His love on the sinful, on sinful mankind, on sinful souls like you and I. But the tragedy is, my friends, not everyone will be there. Not everyone will come. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but not everyone wants to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, heaven is the resting place, but the Lord is the Redeemer. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us, to save us once and for all. Thank God that there is room in the eternal city, amen. Thank God there is room at the cross for you. If you're not sure about your salvation today, let me say it again, then you need to make sure this morning. My friends, the time is at hand. There is room at the cross for all. But the question is, will you come and take of the water of life? Will you receive Jesus Christ personally and be saved? He offers all the free gift of eternal life and the wonderful joy of an eternal city. Well, we've seen the greatness of its size. Notice also the city's great riches. As we mentioned before in our little introduction, my friends, this is a city that is full of the riches of God. Did you notice as we read through? The Bible tells us that it's filled with all manner of precious stones. Verse 19 tells us, in fact, verses 18 to 21 say that the building, the walls and the foundations are garnished with precious stones. Notice verse 19. Jasper. Jasper is clear as crystal. Sapphire is a blue stone. Chalcedony is probably greenish blue. The emerald, of course, is what color? Brilliant, reflecting green. Who's ever seen an emerald before in real life? Have you ever seen the light shine through it? It's not just a flat color, but a reflective, beautiful, radiant gem. Notice verse 20. The sardonyx is like our onyx, which is a white stone, streaked with brown. Some say it's red and white. Sardius is blood red. Chrysolite is golden green. Beryl is green and topaz is a yellow green. Chrysophorus is probably a golden green. And jacinth is violet. Notice the color spectrum in the city of God. Amethyst. Now, what color is amethyst? Purple, that's right. If you've ever been up to the fun but man-made crystal caves in Atherton, you would have gone in there, and those of you who are tall, you would have had to duck down and go inside, and you would have seen the beautiful gems and stones of God's creation. And remember, the largest amethyst geode in the world, supposedly, they state on their website, is the giant one that's on display, that is a brilliant violet purple in color. What a magnificent city this will be. Can you see that when God builds a city for His people, God doesn't cut any corners, amen? Now in this world, corners are cut, that's for sure. Have you ever gone to try on a t-shirt that says it's large and you realize it's small? And then you went on to try a small t-shirt and you realize it's large. Why? Because the factories are cutting corners, trying to save on material, skimping. But my friends, God is not skimpy. God is a God of bountiful rewards, bountiful generosity. And when God builds an eternal city, it will be a city filled with brilliance. It will be a city filled with glory. It will be a city filled with riches. What a wonderful place that will be. Can you just try and imagine? A city of brilliance. A city of glory. Now, I heard the story about another man. And this man was a Christian. In fact, a wealthy Christian. He had lived for the riches of this world. You see, the Bible warns us not to lay up treasures on this earth, because they will corrupt. They will fade away. In fact, they will be destroyed ultimately. But this man was a Christian who had laid up treasures for himself. That's what he lived for. And when he got to the pearly gates, the angels there felt so sorry for him because they saw his shocked face. They saw the shock on his face when he couldn't bring anything with him. So they said, "All right, you can be the exception. You can go back and bring one thing that you wanted to bring with you." So he went back and he brought with him his entire collection of gold bullion, gold bars. This man was a rich man. Now as the angels saw him approaching, they began to laugh at one another and they said to each other, "Look, here comes one of those fools, those Christian fools that thinks that we need more pavement in heaven." My friends, in the city of God, the streets will be paved with gold. What can we bring to the glories of heaven? Nothing. My friends, we cannot bring anything. We cannot bring any wealth. We cannot bring any riches. In fact, the city of God will be filled with riches that are prepared for us to enjoy for all eternity. So then why would we live as fools in this life? To try and build a mansion. To try and build a place that's perfect. There's no such thing. Have you ever tried to clean up your room? By the time you finish, you need to do it again. By the time you wipe the mold, it's back. By the time you get rid of the bugs and the geckos and their waste, they come back. Amen? Amen. Those of you who are addicted to cleaning, some of us are perfectionists. You know, to be a perfectionist leads to sin. Absolutely. Because we become addicted to perfection. Only God is perfect. Only heaven will be perfect. What does God want us to do? He wants us to strive for excellence. That's another message. Amen. He wants us to strive for excellence. There's no such thing as perfection. When we strive for excellence, we'll be satisfied and happy because there's a limit. But if we strive for perfection, we'll be never satisfied. And my friends, we need to heed the warning. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. What a waste of time. Isn't it better to seek ye first the kingdom of God? To look to heaven, to look to the eternal place God has prepared for us, and to live for God and just trust that He'll provide everything in this life and the next for us to enjoy. Amen. Praise God for His precious promises. Praise God. Now, if we can't take riches to heaven, what is it that we can take with us? Who is it that we can take with us? My friends, the only thing that we can take with us is the eternal souls of this world. That's why God has left us here. He hasn't left us here to go mining. Amen. He has left us here to go soul winning. Amen. To preach the gospel. To shine as lights in this dark world. Wouldn't it be better to take someone with us to the eternal city of God? Wouldn't it be better to invest our time in prayer? To invest our money in reaching out to others, in the work of God, in missionaries? Amen. Well, let's move on. Let's move on. We see the great riches of that city. Well, so far this morning we've noted the glory of the city, the greatness of that city. Lastly, notice the gathering in that city. You see, as John continues to get closer and closer, he sees those who are within the city. Notice there in verse number 24. The saved are there, and the nations of them which are saved. Amen. The nations of them which are saved, in verse 24, shall walk in the light of it. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Who is in that city? My friends, only every single soul that has ever repented of their sins and called upon Christ for salvation once and for all. These are the saved. These are those who are the residents in that city. These are those who have repented and have been forgiven and washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Notice what the Bible says in verse 24. And they do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. What does that tell us? My friends, they will come into the city of God. God's people will come to do what? To bring their glory and honor into it. What is that, my friends? They will come to worship the Lord. They will come to praise the Lord. That is what we will be doing as God's people. Praising the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. You see, these are the ones that God has given a new song to. A new song in their hearts for their salvation. These are the residents of the city. The city. You know, the word saved is a Bible word. Let's not be ashamed of that word. Are you saved? We need to explain what it means, of course. Are you saved this morning? Are you sure that you are saved? Has God saved you from your sins? My friends, if you were drowning out at sea and you were about to perish and a lifesaver came and plucked you out of the sea and you were no longer in danger, let me assure you, you would know it. You would know it. In fact, you would rejoice in it for the rest of your life. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure if you're saved, then most likely you are not. If you don't know, if you're worried about it, if you're not sure your eternal home will be in heaven, let me encourage you to make sure today. Let me encourage you to stay back, or let's meet during the week and let's open up the Word of God. Let me allow you to show you how you can be sure that your soul is safe. Because you see, the only residents in that city will be the saved. Notice those who will not be there. The rejected from that city in verse 27 as we close. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look, church family, God ends this chapter with a warning once again, doesn't he? He says, look, there's this city that is beyond belief in its brilliance, in its glory, in its beauty, but there'll be many that won't be there. Let me ask the question. These who are not there, are they not allowed to enter in because they are sinners? Is it because they are sinners? Well, look at this list of descriptions again. Anything that defileth, that word means to pollute. Anything that is an abomination, that word means to disgust God. Or maketh a lie. There it is again. Liars. My friends, if this is the list that restricts people from the city of God, that means you and I are not allowed to enter in. Because we are all sinners. We have all lied before. My friends, these who will never see the gates of heaven, in fact, will be cast far away from heaven's gate into an eternal lake of fire, will not be there. Why? Not because they are sinners, for we are all sinners, but because their names have never been written in the Lamb's book of life. There was never one time in their life that they genuinely repented of their sins and turned their hearts to the Lord Jesus and asked Him to save them once and for all by faith. Their names were never written in the Lamb's book of life. They never had a spiritual birthday. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he shall never see the kingdom of God. My friend, are you ready for heaven? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is your soul prepared for heaven? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, it's the Lord who wants us to ask that question time and time again. It's not Pastor harping on and on about this issue of salvation. It's the Lord. Because this is the most important reality for us today. Heaven will come. But do we have Jesus Christ? Are you sure? If you have a doubt, thank God for the Church of God. Thank God you have a place to come to where you can ask any question you want. And you won't be judged, you won't be looked down on. Thank God the angels in heaven rejoice when one soul is saved, and everyone in this room will rejoice if today is the day of your salvation. But if you're not sure, don't be fearful and unbelieving. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And if you are a Christian here, if you have assurance of salvation, my friend, are you looking up to the Lord? You see, if we're looking up, we won't look down. Amen? Amen. But if we're looking down and we're laying up treasures on this earth, we won't be looking up. We won't live for things that are above. We won't live for the Lord. My friend, is your Christian life consumed with the things of the world? And yet there is an eternal paradise awaiting you and I that is beyond belief. Let's look up, amen. Let's live for the Lord, amen. Let's commit our lives to the Lord afresh this morning. Christ is preparing a place for you, Christian. Christ is preparing a place for me. Are we ready to meet him there? Are we getting ourselves ready? Now, just a little preview for tonight's message. So far, what we have seen is architectural, is it not?
Yes.
Tonight, we're going to see the organic. Because where are the trees? Where are the rivers? Where are the comforts of the new city? Well, let me encourage you to come back 5 o'clock tonight, and we are going to look at the five eternal blessings of heaven. Amen? There's more to come. There's more that God has revealed to us, but let's rejoice in what we know of this morning.